740 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Aha moments. I remember as a child, Tim, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember as a child wondering what you want to be when you grow up? I mean, even as an adult, don't we sometimes wonder what we want to be? And I don't know, I was talking to Shanaz Vandeventer about the Powerhouse Science Center the other day, and they're going to be doing something up near the rail yards. And she pointed out that those aha moments, I think she kind of reminded me that those aha moments often are discovered, or they happen in non-traditional type settings. You know, a place where you're free to think outside the box. Maybe you're working in grandpa's garage on the car, or maybe you're volunteering at a homeless shelter, or maybe it's a cool science center. I don't know. I'm here with Tim Mulligan. Tim, how you doing this morning?
It's a beautiful day, Mark.
You know, you are my workplace soulmate. You're the president of Haney Biz. Today we are missing Marcus and Tom. They are recharging their batteries, maybe discovering some aha moments of their own. So how you doing today, Tim?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks.
I appreciate you joining me. I do not like to be alone. It's one of these things that I have a problem with that. So I luckily have you. Now we're talking aha moments. You know, have you ever had an aha moment?
Oh, sure. The big realization. Some are bigger than others. Some are... modest, but still important.
Yeah, like an epiphany. Anything you could think of?
Wow. Well, just recently, you know, we were looking at some financial statements for one of the entities, and you know, they're trying to tell you a story. Those financials,
right?
As I always have to say, not to be a one note song about the importance of your finances, but your financial statements are telling you, and you can get great realizations out of those and aha moments.
Yeah, your startup is bleeding cash. You can look at your financial statement and go, aha, it doesn't quite look like the projections. You know, even a mature business, though, I mean, technology disrupts, and you know, you've got to pivot. You start seeing margin decline, and aha, maybe somebody else's technology is kicking the crap out of me, you know, right?
Yeah, you're touching on it's that adversity that often forces you always do the right thing when you're forced to.
Yeah.
You know? And so you're like, hey, my back's against the wall. I'm bleeding cash. I got to come up with a solution.
Maybe we had to look at the financial statements a little bit more often so they're not so surprising to us. So it's not such a wake-up call or such an epiphany. But, I mean, I just think that so many times in business or in anywhere walk of life, you're deciding what you want to do, who you want to become. And I think one of the things that I found is when we open our hearts and we open our minds a little bit, then that's the opportunity to discover. And, you know, coach a little sports and play little sports. And, you know, thinking about like in wrestling, you know, you're trying to discover something you're good at in wrestling. And you can discover your signature move just by kind of playing around with something. You're like, whoa, I kind of have a knack for that. That single leg takedown, man, they can't stop that. Maybe that's my signature move. Or, I mean, just thinking about teaching people how to play baseball or hit a baseball, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But, you know, if you wait on that outside pitch a little bit and take it opposite field, oh, you know what? It sounds a little scary at the beginning, but then you get the hang of it. Hey, I got a knack for that. Next thing you know, you're hitting the ball all over the park. I never did it myself. I was more of a coach type guy. But so today, I want our listeners to kick back, open your hearts, open your minds, and prepare for an aha moment. Later in the show, we are going to be expecting a call from Ami Namani. He's the Chief Innovation Officer for the City of Sacramento, and he's got some breaking news about some grant monies that are going to be awarded to promote the region's innovation economy. So hopefully he calls in. All I can say is, Namani, show me Namani. Come on now. I need you to call in for me. If not, you know what? We will make this work, but you know, the first guest that's going to come up is, he can carry the show on his own. I just want you to open up your heart because after the break, you're going to meet one of the Sacramento's newest treasures, Robert Nelson. Robert is the president of Sac State University, a place where aha moments happen every day. And get ready for your aha moment as you listen to his story. Trust me on this. He is the real deal. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited. That music is running a little loud today, Chris. I love it, man. You're getting me fired up. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Galena Certified Public Accountants. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Robert Nelson, the president of Sac State University. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out here, and it's nice to be with you.
I'm glad you are here. You are probably the busiest guy in Sacramento. We've been talking about that, but you haven't been at Sac State all that long. Tell us about the journey on how you got to Sac State.
Well, I come from Texas. I spent 34 years there. I'm from Montana originally, but I went to Texas, got into the administration somehow or another instead of teaching, and it just kept bubbling up from there and became president down on the Rio Grande Valley, down on the border of what was called the University of Texas Pan American. We opened up a new university there because we found a loophole in the Constitution.
Oh, a startup, huh?
Yeah. we got access to $14.98 billion in
billion with a B.
With a B.
Well.
So it made a pretty big difference down there.
That's a nice big checkbook to have handy. But you know, Robert, I haven't known you very long. I met you, we were out at a fundraiser. I met you on the bridge out there, the one going over to West Sac. And I was kind of blown away. I knew we were going to try to get you on the show, or you were coming on the show. And I was blown away by your warmth. I think sometimes we have preconceived notions about who people are and what they're going to be like. And you were like the warmest guy I had met in a long time. And it really took me.
Because the bridge was really hot that night.
It was a warm night. But I think one of the things I think you said to me, we were talking about, Sac State, and you said something along the lines of, how you were feeling about your students. You're like, well, they're all like my kids. I have like all these thousands of children. And I don't know. It's just the warmest, almost like a family.
It is a family, and I say it all the time. In fact, I've had a couple faculty members who got mad at me and said, don't you realize we're an institution? I said, no, we're not. We're a family. And we've got 30,531 of those students who Jody and I really feel are our kids.
Yeah. Now, you did the Texas thing, and then you You lived in Texas for many, many years. You're a Texas guy. Now, coming out to California, Sacramento, what kind of contrast did you feel?
Well, it was weird when everybody stuck their hand out and shook your hand all the time instead of giving you a hug.
Those impersonal people only want to shake your hand, huh?
There's a little bit of standoffishness.
People don't even want to shake my hand, so you're lucky. Sometimes they don't even want to shake my hand.
Now, it's been great here. People are so accepting. They love the university, especially in Sacramento. They realize 1 in 20 people in Sacramento graduated from Sacramento State.
And Tim Mulligan, who was just on with us earlier, and Brian, who's running the camera, they are Sac State grads. 1 in 20. That's 5%, huh?
Yeah, that's
for us
a high
students,
number.
I still could do a little bit of math. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people that are tied to the university in one way or another.
What do you think people have toward, as far as emotion, back to their college? A lot of times they feel something towards their alma mater of a lot of nostalgic feelings. You think people have that for Sac State?
I hope so. The very last thing you do when you graduate is you move the tassel from the right side to the left side. You remember that?
No.
That was what I was afraid of. But you do move it over there, and that's because you're moving the tassel over to above your heart, and it's to actually put your alma mater inside your heart.
Oh, wow. That is very symbolic. Now, it's Sac State. Some people view that as a commuter school. But you're changing that in some respects. Can you tell me what you're thinking in terms of that?
Well, I don't think of it as a commuter school. First off, we've got about 1,400 students that live on campus. But if you go over on 65th Street, within a half mile, you've got another 5,000 students living there. So that's 6,500 already. And then if you go within a mile radius, you've got over 9,000 people living. And if you come and into the student union, you find out they're living in the student union.
They stay there. They don't want to leave.
No, they don't want to leave.
That's awesome. Now, why don't they want to leave? Okay, so what are you doing to, why do students want to hang out?
Well, I think there's two reasons. The biggest change right now is the average freshman is taking one more class than they did last year. Because we're trying to get them, you did the math, I'll do the math right now, okay? We're trying to get them to take 15 credits every semester. 15 plus 15 equals 30 times 4, 120. They're out in 4 years. They're not wasting money. They're not going into debt.
Out in four. What a, man, that's, you hear some of these, now what is the average now? What do they have? Is there an average for Sac State?
There's no real average. In 4 years, only 8% are graduating in 4 years.
Okay.
We expect that to change within the next 3 years to be 30 to 40%.
Wow.
And we expect the six-year graduation rate to go from 40% up to 65%.
That's an enormous change. You got, what are you guys doing to change that? Obviously, you're getting them to take some extra units. Is there something that sort of drives that way of thinking?
Well, first off, when I meet with the students, I talk to them right from the very beginning, and their parents are there. And I say to them, to the parents, do you have $23,000 in chump change in your back pocket? And the parents say no. And I said, then you want your kids to graduate in 4 years so you don't have to spend that money. But really what we're doing is we're adding seats and adding classes. We added 10,000 seats this semester alone. That's 384 sections of classes. So every student got the classes they needed. In the past, they had to rush for classes. They crashed classes to try to get in there. They don't have to do that anymore. And we're hiring faculty. We're hiring 69 new faculty this year.
Wow.
That's a big
addition. Lot of people. Yeah. That, you talked about the parents and the chump change and that kind of thing. Sac State's sort of known as the, I mean, a lot of people go to Sac State. It's not necessarily just for the wealthy. The demographics may be on the other end of the spectrum.
It's split. Okay. 49% of our students come from families that are making $38,000 or less. It's hard to put food on the table for a family with $38,000.
Right.
That's why so many of our students have to work.
Yeah.
We help them get jobs on campus. We've got a career center. We're doing everything that we can help on that. And we try to keep the costs down. Did you realize that tuition's just a little over $5,000? Everybody thinks it's a huge number, but it's only about $5,000.
That's not bad. And you know, I want to talk about this in a minute, but you guys have a, I mean, that's a, you don't have the ability to control whether it goes up or down. Is that governed by the state in some way?
That's governed by the CSU, the California State University System. So they make the decisions about tuition, and they do it in discussions with the overall students with the, it's called CSSA, the California State Student Association.
Now, you talked about having billions of dollars for your startup in Texas. How do you measure the size? Is there a size of a budget that you work with in Sac State?
Yeah, we've got about a $289 million basic budget, okay. 56% of that, 53% of it comes from the students, and the rest comes from the state. And then we try to raise as much money as we possibly can. Last year, we raised a little over $18 million. To be able to supplement so we can get scholarships. We've got a goal right now of doubling the number of scholarships for our students and for building new buildings. We're about to build a new science building on campus. That's a $91 million building that's going to come up. The student union's going to have a new facelift.
Wow.
That's a $49 million project, 71,000 square feet.
Has that started yet? Is there construction going on at Sac State right now?
It all starts this spring.
Nice.
Parking will be even worse.
Now, raising that money, right? So you have some control over your budget. Obviously, it's set in certain ways, but in some ways, you're out going and raise money for these opportunities. What's that look like? I mean, do you go out and meet with people?
I had, and your listeners aren't going to believe this, but I literally had 302 meals last year.
Oh my gosh.
With donors. Okay, now you have to figure that's not every day because you got three meals a day.
So you met with 302 donors or potential donors to try to raise money to make your school better.
Yeah, I mean, we want to make the school the very best we can, and we can't put it on the backs of the students. We need the community to step up. We need corporations to step up. We need everyone involved.
Yeah. Well, you talked about your faculty. How do you empower the faculty? Because you must have a ton of employees. You can't manage everybody. You can't micromanage probably too many people.
No, that's why you've got deans and provosts and department chairs and everything else. But yes, we've got a lot of faculty. You know, there's over 1,000 faculty. They're working every day. We've got another 2,000 employees that are working and making the university run. It's a city. We've got our own police department. We've got our own HR. We've got everything.
Robert Nelson, president of Sac State University, running a real good-sized operation right here with a ton of complexities right here in Sacramento. When we come back, we're going to talk to Robert a little bit more about, or we're going to talk to him more about entrepreneurship. Obviously, he's running his operation in an entrepreneurial way, but he's also driving entrepreneurship and opportunity right here in the Sacramento region. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. We are here with Robert Nelson, the president of Sac State University. And we've been talking aha moments at the beginning of this show. Any aha moments happened since you joined up at Sac State?
The university is all about aha moments. The aha moment is when you learn something. You have an epiphany. You learn something new. I have aha moments every time I do about anything. You know, I've never worked with unions before. That's been a lot of aha moments. I've met some of the most amazing students that are there, students who are learning. I'm meeting today with the Guardian Scholars. They're the Foster students. And I hear their experience and I go,
Yeah, I guess if you keep your mind and your heart open a little bit, you're a little more receptive and, I don't know, you can kind of take it in that way.
I think it's really important to lead with your heart. You don't lead with your mind. Your mind, if you lead with your mind, you're going to make mistakes. If you lead with your heart, it might be rough sometimes, but you'll be safe.
Yeah, now if I'm at Sac State and I'm a student, describe to me what might happen in an aha moment there at Sac State, especially in entrepreneurship. You know, that we're going to talk. That's what this show is all about. I'm just picturing myself as a business student there. And what kind of how do I get an aha moment there in your business department?
Well, just this coming week, the 14th through 18th, we're going to have Entrepreneurship Week. And during that week, our freshmen are going to have entrepreneurs come in, people like you, and they're going to teach classes. They're going to be professors for a day. Okay.
That could be a little bit dangerous. I think it's going to be aha for both sides. I think the entrepreneurs might get a little aha that day, too.
Well, they're going to be able to sit down and talk about what it really means to be real hands-on experience, what it means to be a businessman, what risks you got to take, and how the risks pay off. So there's going to be a panel that is going to be about all of the restaurateurs that are in town, the farm to fork, and how they actually invented farm to fork and what that means and the risks that are there. There will be another panel that's going to be a pitch panel. I think you're going to be a judge on the pitch panel.
Somehow I was the C student from Oakmont High School snuck into the pitch judging.
So it's going to be just like a Shark Tank, and the students are going to be pitching projects. And you're going to be able to make judgments about it, and they're going to see, oh, yeah, no, that was a good idea. Oh,
that's awesome. Not good. That's awesome. And I, you know, when you talked about, you got guys like Dale Carr, you got some of the big name guys in Sacramento coming in to help teach these classes. And I just think that what a concept, talking to real world entrepreneurs who have actually done it, accomplished it. What a concept in learning.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. Dale Carlson is coming in, and he's not going to talk about sleep train and that. What he's going to talk about is social entrepreneurship. I don't know if you know about his Ticket to Dream, but it's a foundation, it's a fabulous foundation that is helping Guardian Scholars, helping Oster kids so they get the opportunities. And we're really excited about having him speak to everybody. And then Mayor-elect and I will be doing a final panel on civic innovation.
Oh, nice.
And what we're doing in government here to be able to foster new entrepreneurs and to foster new businesses and to make sure that our government is ready to help it happen.
Yeah. Now, we talk about entrepreneurship and innovation. How do you think that creativity and that innovative mind really affects a community. As these guys graduate from Sac State and they've, you know, been exposed to this innovation, what does that do for our community when they go out to the streets and start doing their career?
60% of the students from Sac State who graduate stay here in the community. They're lifeblood of businesses in the community. They're creating new jobs. We've got a new economy. It's not the economy that we used to be. We don't have Fortune 500 companies here. We got to grow new companies. We've got to make certain that the companies that we have are agile and innovative. You can't do the same old thing. It just won't work anymore.
Now, when you got here originally from Texas, you met with a lot of superintendents to talk about the overall plan and how things, all the opportunity that's sitting here in front of us. Can you tell us about how that went?
Well, I was really honest about our graduation rates. Our graduation rates are 8%. That's just not acceptable. We've got to change that. And we had to figure out what we needed to do to change it. So I met with all of the superintendents because about 50% of our students end up in remedial classes. That's not because they're not getting a good good education in high school. It's because our curriculum and their curriculum doesn't align. So how can we get together and have the same curriculum so it's just simple so they can move and advance forward?
So it makes it easier to get into college, basically, because they're more ready.
Yes, college readiness is everything. So you make certain they've got the skill sets in math, skill sets in writing, skill sets in English. California doesn't require a senior English course or doesn't require a senior science course or senior math. So we've got to convince the students to take those courses on their own so that they haven't taken off that senior year and they're ready to move into
I think
college.
It's really interesting how you're spending this time you're at Rockland School District today, yeah. And you're spending time at the lower grades trying to help them advance and the high schools to advance into college. And now it's the business students advancing to their career. I mean, you're taking people all the way from first grade to, you know, CEO of a company.
Well, yesterday I got to be the principal of the day at Del Deo Elementary School. It was amazing. I was there with these little kids. I got to read them stories. I got to talk to them about going to college, and I got to remind them that you have to graduate from first grade before you can go to college. So you have
yes.
to do the work there.
Yes. Don't forget about today. We could dream about the future like Mark Haney does all the time, but you know what? You got to focus on today too, right? You got to get your homework done. And you know, thinking about these younger kids and how they learn, how we all learn. Sometimes we learn more through the experience, right? So by touching, maybe it's in grandpa's garage with the, you know, working on the car. Sometimes it's some other way. Maybe it's out on the playground. But I mean, the memorization of information in order to regurgitate it versus how you solve a problem. It's interesting to see how much time we spend just trying to memorize stuff.
Well, you hit on it perfectly. It used to be that I would go in and I would teach a class with my yellowed notes, and they were supposed to regurgitate exactly what I had said in the class. Students don't learn that way anymore. They learn by doing hands-on. And education now is all about problem solving. Okay. So you want critical thinkers out there, people who can really solve a problem and then advance forward from that. Yeah. Because the old knowledge isn't going to work anymore. Google knows everything, okay? If you want to know anything, you can just Google it. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But Google can't solve anything. Only people can solve things.
Only people can solve things. I want to talk about you personally a little bit, if it's okay. You're a nostalgic guy. We were in your office, and we noticed a football helmet. We talked about sports because you and I have some common ground there. But you go to all the sporting events that you can go to. The athletes have a personal relationship with you, and that was obvious when we saw that football helmet in your office. Tell us about that football helmet.
Let me put a plug in first, okay, for soccer today, because today we are in the championships for soccer.
All right, Sac State, go Hornets.
So that's at 3 o'clock today, so everybody should come out. My father passed away last year. He was an old rancher up in Montana, And when he passed away was when we were supposed to have a football game. So I wasn't able to be there.
And you don't miss a game.
No, I don't miss any of the games. I want to be there to support the student. The student athletes, they've got higher GPAs than the normal students do. They graduate faster. They're putting everything in there for themselves. They really care about the university. It's all about Stingers Up, okay? And they really care. So when my dad passed away, the football players all got together and signed a helmet, and every one of them, and then the team captains came over and presented me the helmet. Wow. And I'll admit, I cried.
Well, they really are like your kids. It really does feel that way. That warmth that I felt on the bridge, that's real, genuine, coming from your heart about those kids.
They are my students. I lost my son. You and I talked about that. I lost him to suicide when he's 25. But Jody and I look at it differently, okay? We look at it and say that we have the 30,531. Today on campus is Active Minds. Active Minds is a nationwide group of students that are all there talking about suicide and the stigma of suicide. So we have a two-day conference taking place. Our university, I'm so proud, our Active Minds students, we were listed as one of the 6 most healthy universities in the United States. Because we're proactive, not only about physical health, but also about mental health.
You know, we talked about the veteran suicide rate. I think it's 22 per day. People committing suicide. We're doing some things at Allegiant Giving to try to do our little part. Now, I want to ask you about your son, if it's okay. Yeah. Seth, who was Seth?
Seth was a black belt in karate. He won a national championship at one point. He was a computer engineer. He loved solving bugs that other people had created, and so he worked for Nortel, and he moved forward. He was one of the most giving kids. He was the kid that everybody went to when you had problems and that. We don't know what happened. We don't know why, but he made a decision at age 25, and he was about to buy a motorcycle at that point, and he was going rock climbing the next day, but he never made it. So, you know, it hurts, and you feel it every day of your life, but it also inspires you to make a difference in somebody else's life, okay? Help somebody else really reach out. And I think that's part of what I was saying earlier about leading with the heart. It makes you think about your heart more than your mind and about other people's hearts, because something was going on. Something was tough for him, or he wouldn't have been there.
It makes you think what life's all about, too. I mean, I can't imagine. I think if you're an adult out there listening, you know, we've lost people, but to lose your child is almost unimaginable. And I know I've been fearful of that with my own son. How long ago was Seth, how long ago did he pass away?
It feels like yesterday, okay? But he was 25 years ago. He would be 40 now, so it's been 15 years.
Wow. And you and your wife dealt with it a little bit differently at first.
Yeah, my wife was angry. She wanted to know why. And it was really important. He didn't leave a note. He didn't leave any way for us to know. And she was mad at him. Why didn't you come talk to us, Seth? Why didn't you let us help? Why wouldn't you help us? And then she felt guilty. And she went through all of the guilt, you know, what did I do wrong? How could I have done it differently? And so she went through a whole gambit of emotions, and she got us into a survivor of suicide group so we could all talk about it. My take was different. My take was that he made a decision, and I had to accept his decision, or I wasn't accepting him as a man. So, Seth, I love you, and I can't stop loving you.
When you now go and you're driving Active Minds, the organization, and helping other people who have, you know, been challenged with, you know, just had this life circumstance in front of them, I mean, what do you guys do at Active Minds?
We hug. Okay, it's pretty simple. We talk to each other. We had an exhibit on campus that was one of the most amazing exhibits ever. It was 1,000 backpacks, and on those backpacks was a story of somebody who had committed suicide. When we brought that onto campus, I was supposed to be having a meeting with all my vice presidents. I said that whatever my vice presidents were going to decide today wasn't nearly as important as for us to be out in the library quad amongst those backpacks talking to students. So we went down there, and Active Minds brought that on. We had also an out-of-darkness walk, a walk where you walk out of darkness. You carry a sign or a picture of someone who's passed away, and you come out of the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Just dealing with it together, it's got to be more helpful than walking through that alone. And we're going to cut to break in a second, and I don't know how we're going to come back after that, but somehow we're gonna make it back, and we're going to talk to you a little bit more about your leadership style and about more about your son and what's going on at Sac State as well. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. We are back here with Robert Nelson having a deep discussion about life, what the meaning of life is, and how often today we see people taking their own life. And he was kind enough and warm enough to share his personal story and what they're doing at Active Minds. And I was sharing a story, Robert, with you about we give these military packages, we send packages to the military, and how we got back this letter from one of the people that received the military packages that, you know, they sent them to them when they're in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on, when they're deployed. And we got back one letter that said, "We got your package today," or "I got your package today, and I just want you to know that you saved my life, because today I was going to end my life." And that hit us, and you said something, Robert, or along the lines of, sometimes it's the smaller things that we do versus these big gestures.
Well, I think that a lot of people think that, you know, you're going to save a life because you're a psychiatrist, or you're going to have a long, deep conversation or something like that. No, it's about the kindness of others. It's about the small gestures. Somebody just needs a reason to say, okay, I want to live another day. That package allowed that particular vet to live another day. It can be as something as small as hearing some words, hearing a song, having somebody who just comes up and say, "Hey, how you doing today?" or "Let's go get a cup of coffee."
You'll probably never find a warmer president of a university, and I want to thank you for coming on. And just as we sort of close out, we're going to bring on Ami Namani in a second. If you don't mind sticking around during this phone call, you're probably way more prepared to talk to Namani about innovation than this guy. But I want to thank you for coming on. But I also wanted to remind the community of just how nostalgic you were beyond the school as well. You go back, you're a Johnny Cash guy. You're always wearing your boots. You're the man in black who's had to switch over and wear a white shirt these days. So what's how has that changed over? You got to get a little more sophistication going?
Well, you have to look the part. Okay, and I wore black for 23 years because of Johnny Cash's song, "Why I Wear Black," you know.
Yeah.
And we haven't got there yet. We still have murders. We still got people in Folsom Prison.
Yeah.
We still got problems, rapes, and bad stuff out there happening. But I know this much. College can make a difference. That's why we need everybody to go to college.
Well said. Well said. And on the line, we're lighting up a little bit. We have Ami Namani. Show me Namani. Are you there, Ami?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, appreciate you calling in. We have Robert Nelson also here with me in studio. And we've been talking about innovation earlier in the show and aha moments. Now, you have some breaking news. Let me ask you a question first before I get into your news. Is there any news on the baby? What's going on with the child?
Yes, everything is good on that. Sorry, I couldn't be there in person. We can make this happen over the phone.
Did she pop out the kid yet?
No.
Okay, so you're still waiting. Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in, and Robert and I would like to know about the news that you have on the innovation front.
Sure. So about 6 months ago, the mayor, Kevin Johnson, invited me to come work with the city of Sacramento on its innovation and entrepreneurship strategy. As you guys probably know well, there's an explosive amount of growth in terms of technology and innovation within the area, capstone most recently by the new Golden One Center and a lot of the energy that's happening, not just downtown, but across the city. Back in May, we actually asked the council to set aside $10 million of budget to invest in the startup and innovation ecosystem. And the first program...
How many million was that again? 10 million?
10.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 million. Yeah. And the first program we rolled out was something called Rail.
Right.
That just makes a lot of sense that Robert's on the phone because it's following a similar educational path. So instead of just focusing on, say, 1 to 5 different companies, we wanted to help startup enablers, so accelerator programs, innovation spaces, training and educational programs. Those are the kinds of things where we think we can have more leverage. And so we just, this week, got council approval for the 15 winners of Rails grants in the city. Those 15 were chosen out of a pool of over 100 applications, and they represent the diversity and power of the Sacramento ecosystem.
So what kind of money is going to those recipients?
Sure. So it ranges from $10,000 to $250,000.
Are you giving away the whole $10 million, or is there just a segment of that that's going out this year?
Yeah, this year it's $1 million of the $10 million is going to these programs. What's nice is we've set it up in a way that the city will always have an additional $2 million that comes into that fund through just the tax structure. And so what we decidedly did was made it set up in a way where every year we weren't spending more than $2 million. That way it's not just a flash in the pan kind of innovation, that this is something that sticks around and people can rely upon and know is there as a resource for them.
Any thoughts on that, Robert?
I think it's incredibly smart. I think we have a lot of innovation centers that we throw a little bit of money at them and then we walk away and expect them to get grants and be able to survive. We've got a lasting strategy here. The mayor came up and the city council supported a lasting strategy because you've got to sustain it. We have to change our economy, and you can't do that in 1 year. Doing it over 10 years is a much more practical and much smarter way to go.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that, Ami?
Yeah, I mean, well, added. So I've had the experience of working with a lot of city governments on the innovation strategy. I helped start a company called Code for America, which worked with about 100, 150 cities. And that point about sustainability is always key. Most innovation offices, so I'm technically the interim chief innovation officer for Sacramento, there's about 25 or 30 so other cities with similar offices. Almost none of them have the kind of budget power and authority that we have here in Sacramento. So the city made a really bold and profound commitment to innovation when they put up the $10 million. And I feel it's incumbent on us then to think thoughtfully about how we use it to make sure it does have that kind of leverage long-term impact.
Do you guys feel like, maybe I'll direct this at you, that things are kind of coming together for Sacramento? Obviously, we got a new leadership here at Sac State and a revived an exciting entrepreneurial program going on there. The Kings stay in town. You're starting to see investment capital come from venture funds start to creep into Sacramento. And now even the city working together with the private side of things to help drive innovation. Do you feel like we're kind of sitting at the precipice of something really huge happening?
Yeah, I mean, here, I'll give you data on that. So we had an innovation council that helped us put together these plans. And we did them for some reason. I don't know why. We had our meetings at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I figured no one would want to come that early to talk about city government planning and, you know, innovation from a city side. Every single one of those meetings we had, it was standing room only.
Wow.
40 or 50 leaders from the industry, from the area, would come together, make time out of just their goodwill, and say, hey, how do we get something done here? Because I think, Mark, to your point, people do recognize that there's something special happening right now. Like the winds are aligning in a way that Sacramento just has an opportunity that's, I wouldn't say unprecedented, but really profound.
Very cool, very cool. Any aha moments in this grant process?
Well, it was interesting when we're reading through the applications, like how much interconnectivity there is between different groups. So, for instance, like two of the 15 programs we're funding is going to be housed out of the new IO Labs headquarters downtown, which they also applied for grants.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting to think about how we're able to help not just the individual project, but also institutions that then can support many more projects, right? And of course, then right, one of our conversations with IO Labs is, well, can you give free space to this group that's wanting to do this training program, for instance, right?
Yeah.
And because we have now a direct relationship, a financial relationship, we actually have the ability to make those connections happen in a real, meaningful way.
Love it. People coming together. We call it the power of with. You know, alone as entrepreneurs, alone any of us, we can do a little bit, but together we can do so much more. I want to thank you, Abhi, for calling in. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on right now in your life. And Robert, I want to thank you, too, for coming down and sharing your the story of Sac State, but also about you personally. And, you know, we talk about the power of with, and I got to give a shout out to some of my sponsors here. DCA Capital, based out of Roseville. These guys are advising growth strategies, exit strategies, anything to do with business. These guys are supporting me. They're supporting the entrepreneurial community as a private equity fund, but as much more. Also want to give a little shout out to Audi of Rockland. My wife is loving her new Audi Q7. If you need a new car, come visit me. I take you across the street to Audi Rockland, and we'll get you fixed up. Luke Smith will take care of you, and we will make sure you have a great experience because the experience at Audi Rockland is off the charts. And if you want more Mark Haney, I got to give a little plug to what's going on at Golden One Center. I'm out there all the time at Kings games and concerts and stuff. But you know what? The Impact event that's coming up on November 14th, Jack Crawford and the guys over at Impact, they're putting together a huge event at the Golden One Center. And they've asked me to kind of hold the mic a little bit, interview some of the top venture capital guys, some of the people that are really making an impact right here in our region in innovation and entrepreneurship. So I'll be out there. If you want to come see me, you want a little more Mark Haney, come see me. You don't want me, you know, just walk around, hang out a little bit. It'll be fun. It's at the Golden One Center on November 14th. And lastly, in terms of sponsorship, I gotta give a little shout out to my friend Kim Silver's HR. Her shirt's behind me if you're walking on Facebook Live. But my wife was an HR director at the city. And, you know, I always thought that maybe I didn't need HR, you know, a real professional HR person, because I got a couple people at work and I got my wife is in my ear. But I tell you guys, when you get down to making tough personnel decisions, HR compliance, just the average ordinary entrepreneur can't do that alone. You need someone like Kim Silvers on your side. And she is a friend, and she's also running a great company over at HR, Kim Silvers HR. Next week, you're not going to want to miss John L. Sullivan, founder and president of the Sullivan Automotive Group, one of the iconic entrepreneurs of this region, a man that I've respected for several years. He'll be on the show along with Uriah Faber and Paige Van Zandt coming down, talking about their upcoming fight at the Golden One Arena and what it's like to be a fighter and an entrepreneur at the same time. When we return, I will share my takeaways and closing thoughts about aha moments. Again, this is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, and we will be back in just a minute. Aha moments. He builds a different kind of jet ski. I was at the Sacramento Region Innovation Awards yesterday, and I just want to say congrats to Jordan Darling, the man that's building a different kind of jet ski, Freeform. It's the lightest jet ski on the market, and Freeform won the award for the coolest jet ski manufacturing technology in the world by me, but he was also given the award for in manufacturing the most innovative product yesterday at the award. And I was Jordan. I just want to say congratulations and good luck. And I was at the. It was ironic because I was asked by Jennifer Forrester of Stoll Reeves to MC the event. And so I got to be there when Jordan won his event, and I felt a little bit, Tim, you know, I'm back here with Tim Mulligan, and we only have a minute or two left, Tim, but you and I walk in there. I was wearing a sport coat. I don't wear a sport coat too often. I'm more like the jeans and sweatshirt guy. I've had people on Facebook commenting about, geez, Mark, I didn't know you owned a sport coat. I bring out a sport coat three times on three different kinds of occasions. When you know, when there's a funeral, I gotta get dressed up and wear the nice shoes. And when there's a wedding, okay, my wife talks me into it. I'll put on the sport coat. But if Jordan Darling is going to win an award, I will wear my sport coat every time. And so, Jordan, I was there for you. I was there for you, Jennifer Forrester. But, Tim, you were there, too. What'd you think when we walked in? It was basically accountants, attorneys. I mean, it was all suits.
Yes. yeah, indeed. And I didn't have the foresight to put on the blue, you know, the sport coat. That's neither here nor there. But it was a serious.
Did you feel out of
1 minute?
A little bit.
Yeah, it happens. You know, we talk about aha moments. I think for me, my aha moment of the year is that I learned it. I think on this show, it just as you try to get comfortable on the radio, as you try to get comfortable, I guess in your own skin. The aha moment is, and I think Tim, you helped me with this. Hey, Mark, don't forget you're just Marky down on the block, right? Don't forget who you are. Do not forget where you came from. You know what, Mark? You're Marky down the block. Be that guy. I think I was that guy at the Innovation Awards the other night. I was hanging, you know, we were challenging the guys on the way they think. The suits had to hear a little Mark Haney hanging and banging talk, a little hometown patriotism, bringing it with everything I had, Marky on the block style. And anyway, I want to thank you, Jennifer Forrester, for inviting me out there. Never above you. Never below you. And you know I am always by your side.